It is now 8:30. Good Tuesday morning, everybody. This is the WLBB Community Voice program here on News Talk 1330, FM 106.3, also streaming live online at newstalk1330.com. And I'm your host this morning, Colin Worthington. Do appreciate you checking us out this morning. It's a very special show, bringing in Harrelson County's new sheriff in just a couple of minutes. Stacey Williams, our guest this morning. Do want to share some breaking news. This is probably not important to a lot of people, but I'd say for our community, a lot of people do care about this as well. Carrollton City Schools releasing this press release about 5 minutes ago. Carrollton High School head football coach Sean Calhoun stepping down after five seasons to pursue other football coaching opportunities. Under Calhoun's watch, the Trojans produced five winning seasons, three region titles, and five quarterfinal appearances, compiling an overall record of 51-12. Coach Calhoun served our program well, and we are appreciative for all he's done for Carrollton High School, said CHS Principal David Brooks. We wish him the best in future pursuits. And Dr. Mark Albertus, superintendent of school, said a search for a new head coach is underway. And that longtime football coach, Mark Loudermilk, who just completed his sixth season with the Trojans, will serve as interim head coach until a replacement is named. Again, the lead sports story this morning. Breaking news, Calhoun stepping down as Trojan head football coach. You can get more information on that, I think, on the Gratic Sports Facebook page. You can check that out during the day, and I'm sure Matt Skinner will get that information up and get your comments and opinions on that Facebook page as well. Right now, though, we have Harrelson County's brand new sheriff. His name is Stacey Williams, and we're talking to him via phone. Stacey, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Colin.
Thank you for sitting through that little announcement this morning before we got to you. But hey, you spent a lot of time in Carrollton. You know how important football is to these guys.
Yeah, I tell you what, Carrollton's got a jam-up athletic program, and it's I've always loved watching them play and keeping up with them, even though I'm a Harrelson County Bremen fan. I love both teams, but Carrollton's got a great athletic program down there.
Well, I'm sure they will find a suitable replacement and take their time and make a right choice. Well, let's talk about you. Heck, there's a good chance. I mean, if anybody knows Stacey Williams, you know he's at least a communicator. So heck, we're gonna try and cram in a lot of subjects in 30 minutes, and that'll be a tough call to do that. So maybe we'll think about bringing you on again later on this week and continue this conversation. But first of all, let's look at some of the changes that have happened over the last month. You were elected sheriff in 2020, took over officially the first week of January. So you've just been in office for a few days. Your office had recently shared some brief bios of your new administration on social media. Can you introduce those to us on the radio this morning?
Yeah, I can. I wish it was where people could go to our Facebook page and actually read and get a more in-depth synopsis of, you know, who the citizens have here, but our Facebook page has been took down for the second time. So,
well, let's talk about that a little bit. What's the process for that? Can anybody's just, I mean, we just understand, you know, somebody's sending in a notice to Facebook that they're offended or something, or what? How's that work?
Well, I don't know. You know, being the head of a law enforcement body, you think we could get answers, you know, with the investigative tools and the resources we have at hand, but. You know, what people don't understand is that Facebook is a private entity. It's not controlled by the, I guess it can be controlled by the government, but it's a private entity. And anybody knows with Facebook, you have a problem, you try to contact them. About the best you can do is send a response through the Facebook portion of it. It ain't like you can pick up a phone and call somebody and say, hey, I got a problem, like technical support, and work through it. So, don't know. This started back in December. It's been down. It's actually down now, but it started in December when I got sworn in. The agency posted swearing-in pics, and shortly thereafter, it got removed or took down, violating standards or something other. And as a law enforcement agency, we're not going to put nothing on social media. Our first and foremost, we respect people's rights, and we're courteous, and we try to put good news stories out there. So anyway, it got took down. No communication with Facebook. The reason why, other than it, you know, some content violated. Somebody had a problem with it, filed a complaint, created a new Facebook page to go forward, to coincide with the new administration, started going. And actually, it's funny how you talk about the bios. We started putting the bios on Facebook, introducing the new current administration and who they are, you know, just good news stories. And it got taken down again. And right now we're in the process. I've reached out to talk to different investigative bodies to see what could be done. And due to the fact it's a private entity, there's nothing we can do. And it's such a disservice to the citizens that we serve, because it's like this past weekend, we had a shooting. We had a manhunt. It's all over the news. And I had to get other agencies to put press releases out for us on that medium, because we couldn't do it ourselves.
And that was noticeable, that all the local police departments and the sheriff's office did help you guys out in getting that word out. It's not that they don't typically do it, but you don't see that a lot.
Yeah, and it's just crazy, Colin. It's just, you know, the people, when it's just like this is wintertime, we have storms coming in, we like to alert our people, our citizens, of impending, you know, storms or just anything going on. Investigations we got going, like this manhunt. We couldn't do that. It's like we're held hostage here. And it's crazy. And so we have to back up, and we have to do workarounds, and we have to find other outlets to, you know, to get this information out there. And when people get it, we depend on them to share it, and, you know, amongst all of their friends, and hopefully it gets around. It just shouldn't be like this. So
you did bring up that shooting. We'll talk about that here in just a little bit. But let's go back to your administration. A lot of these guys, at least two or three of these guys who you put up in the administration, I'm familiar with, just being here in Carrollton.
Yes, sir. From previous past, they went on to, you know, to hold other jobs at the time. And Jameson Sailors, he's a 28-year veteran of law enforcement, master's degree. Me and him have been friends for at least 28 years. And Jamie is the chief deputy. He brings a wealth of resource to the job. Jamie, as you know, was the chief of police for Hiram Police Department. I think going on 3 years, and he turned that agency around up there. Within a year, he got them state certified, and that means a lot, because that when you hear about getting certified like that, that one, just right off the bat, that cuts your liability insurance down probably 17% to 20%, and that's a savings to the taxpayers just right off the bat by meeting stringent policy and procedures. And that right there relates into how the officers conduct themselves, how they conduct the investigation, how they do every aspect of their job, and the people see that. So that was one, and that's one of the things we're going to do here. But Jamie's led the charge on that. He's done a lot of other great things, and he was tapped to be the chief deputy. And so far, I know January 1st and today's the 12th, but we actually started around the 13th, you know, with the transition. So for the last 13 days, we've all been working 7 days a week, trying to get a handle on things. And Jamie's just done a phenomenal job. He's a good standing member of the community, a good family man, and just somebody I'm proud to call a friend. The next person, Tim Cole, he retired from Carrollton. He was a state investigator. He went with the state for the last couple of years, Bremen connection. Jamie lives in the Cashtown area of the county. He's a Bremen boy, graduated high school. Tim, he's got connections to the Bremen community, family, mother, children, and stuff like that. About 34, right at 35 years of experience, college educated. Tim has done just about every function within a law enforcement body, from working patrol to CID to the different functions. And we're all trainers. We all teach different disciplines and things like that. Tim's a family man. He stands good in his community. And it's just a blessing for the citizens of Harris County when you look at it from a whole, and you bring something like this together. And we're here for the people. This is not for us. This is for the people that we serve. We've lived here all of our lives. And Sheriff Mixon's been wonderful during this transition. He's, you know, during the transition, he come down with COVID. So that kind of impacted us a little bit. But we're doing good with what we got. But all we want to do is build upon the success this agency's had, and we want to take it into the next chapter, into the next, you know, the next century here, so to speak, and laying the foundations and doing some more modernization and being more service-oriented to the citizens that we serve. So other than that, jail administrator, I got Edwin Iba. He's a Tallapoosa boy by nature. He's a captain over the jail. And all my captains are made jail captain or slash commanders. They run each division. Edwin's been rooted in this county all of his life. he's done different things. He's worked at Tallapoosa Police Department. He's worked at City of Carrollton. He worked for Cobb County. He worked for Hiram. And he's worked at a different as a training instructor, and he's just got a wonderful background as it relates to law enforcement and serving, you know, in a capacity such as this right here, and he's going to be a good fit. We created a new position, a special operations commander, you know, under the sheriff's mandate. Not only do we have to – there's three things a sheriff has to do, Colin. Law enforcement, run a jail, and service and run a courthouse. Well, and those three, Scott Chandler, with his background, about 24 years in the business, he started in Polk County, done a lot of things up there, different agencies. In the last few years, he was U.S. Marshals, and then he transferred and went over and he worked for ICE. So, and then he got out of it for a brief period till he come back here. But Scott's the captain, the commander over the special operations, and under that, he has the courthouse. He's in charge of the courthouse, and we're already making different changes up there. I think the people, if they go to the courthouse quite often, they're going to see the changes. Also, under his, Scott's going to be in charge of the we're going to create a two-man traffic unit to help alleviate traffic concerns here in the county during the campaign trail. A lot of people complained about speeding, reckless driving across the county. I've talked to GSP about getting more troopers. They're understaffed. They got a 100-man school going on right now, and at best they can have one or two troopers down here to do that. But I think we're here to serve our citizens, so I think creating something like it right there, a traffic unit, and we're not out here to write just 10,000 tickets or anything like that. All we want is compliance within the law. We want, it's just like I live out on a country road. I don't like speeding and reckless drivers coming up down our road. And when we get these complaints, we, the sheriff's agency here, the sheriff's office, can respond to these complaints and serve our citizens in a timely manner versus the state patrol. If it's not a state highway and it's hard for them to get off, they do get off on these little secondary and third routes, but we're the sheriff's office here. We are the ones, I'm the defender of the citizens of Harrison County. It's just like I've got 30,000 kids here in this county. When they call, we respond, and we take action, and we take care of it. So he's going to be in charge of that. He's also going to be in charge of the SRO program coming up. We got three vacancies in that we're trying to fill now. We're halfway into a budget right now, somebody else's budget. But we got the 21-22 budget coming up that we can make some changes, and we're getting ready for that. The crime suppression unit, one of the biggest things as far as the campaign across the county is the crime suppression unit. I campaigned on the fact of drugs and stealing, and to be a servant of the citizens of this county, we're going to create a two-man crime suppression unit. With an addition, I've talked to the other leadership across county, the city of Tallapoosa, the city of Bremen and Buchanan, to devote one man to that unit. And 1-2 days a week, we're going to get out here into the districts. Harrison County has 12 districts, not just including the county part, but also in the cities. And we're going to get out here based off of reports. When we sit back and we see problems and we know the problem areas, we're going to get this five-member little task force, so to speak, working in these areas out there. And if you talk about drugs are carried up down the road from point A to point B, and we're going to stop this. We're going to get more involved in getting some of these drug dealers off the street. Thieving, stealing, we get a lot of stealing reports, and when we get in these areas like this, the bottom line with the crime suppression unit is I want the people of Harrison County to know there's going to be law in Harrison County. We're not worried about my own Paul Kittle. When they come down the road and they see us, we're not worried about them. Hopefully they're doing everything right and stuff like that. But we're out here. We want to target the offenders. We want to target the drug dealers. We want to target the stealing that's going on in this county. And I think to do that, that's the way we've done it. I've been part of a crime suppression team, and during the years of my business, we've done it. We've been successful in doing it. And to get out here and to bring down the crime rate, that's one of the things we got to do, and we're going to do it for the citizens. So, Captain Chandler under special operations, he's got a big task ahead of him, but I know he's capable of doing it. And then the other commander I have, Teresa Pilcher, she was the captain here at over the CID unit, Criminal Investigations Division. I think she's done a wonderful job with it, with the investigators. And she lives out of county. She's from, I think, just right across the line up in the Paulding County, but Polk County, Paulding County area. But she's been here for several years, and she's got a lay down of what's going on. And I think she's going to serve the citizens here under this administration very well. So I think together with everybody I've got, we're going to bump it up a notch, and we're going to be more service oriented to the people. So.
Stacey Williams is the new sheriff for Harrelson County. He's our guest on this morning's Community Voice program. Time right now is 8:45. Going to take my first break and come back and continue our conversation with Sheriff Williams. Community Voice brought to you by Tanner Health System, Oak Mountain Academy on News Talk 1330, FM 106.3.
At Oak Mountain Academy, we are a family creating legacies. The Fortner family shares. OMA has assisted us in providing our three children with a solid educational foundation and a love of learning. The Academy has done so with an emphasis on building a strong inner character. We would love to share more with you about our school community and how you can become a part of this legacy. I'm Patrick Urien, headmaster, inviting you to join us for our virtual admissions open house on Thursday, January 28th at 9 a.m. Register today at oakmountain.us.
For more than 70 years, you have turned to Tanner Health System for your healthcare needs. As our community moves forward, Tanner is here for you. Strong, safe, and close to home. Routine medical appointments, urgent elective surgeries, and imaging are back on the calendar at our hospitals and Tanner Medical Group practices. With the safety of our patients, staff, and community always our top priority. Learn more at Tanner.org. Hashtag We Are Tanner Strong. That's Tanner.org. Hashtag We Are Tanner Strong.
It's 8:47. This is the WLBB Community Voice program on News Talk 1330 FM 106.3, streaming live online at newstalk1330.com. And I am Colin Worthington. My guest this morning is Harrelson County Sheriff, new Sheriff, Stacey Williams, introduced us to his administration very detailed in the first segment. I'm going to try and get a couple more questions in here before we wrap up our program this morning. Have you taken a look at any cold case files? There's at least one that's a pretty well-known cold case that the community's paid attention to over the last couple of years. Have you taken a look at any, and what will be your approach with that? Will you start all over again with some of those cases, or do you carry on with the information that's given to you?
Well, one in case, the first one, we got a few. And I've tasked Deputy Chief Sailors to go ahead and get that amongst the other 999 things we got to do. But all this is very important, and we have to prioritize in this business. One of the things we're going to do is, for me and Chief Sailors in our circle of where we've been, what we do, the GBI has a cold case unit that we can reach out to. Last year, I took some training with it, last year I took some training with a unit, and I said this previously, they have a cold case unit that we can get to come in and look at our cases. Not to say that our officers missed anything, done anything wrong. It's just a lot of times when you get wrapped around the axle and you investigate complex cases like this, sometimes you take a fresh set of eyes and you look at it, and they can look at it from more of a neutral position than anything. So we're in the process of doing that right now. The Jessica Earl case, we had some information the other day. It's just like everything else. We got some new information the other day with that, and we're in the process of looking at that. Because of the COVID, because of personal deaths within the organization in the last 2 weeks, it's just it's been hard. It's like in 1 week we had 6 members, 3 being command staff, had deaths in their family. Okay, COVID is still around here. This means people's out of work. So first 2 weeks of the year, it's been rough. But these are challenges that we're going to work through. So, yes, we're going to be looking at cold cases and bringing in a fresh set of eyes to look at it, but it's a case by case. We'll take one, and we'll prioritize, and we'll look at it, and we'll let them look at it. We'll give them the cases, and we'll look at them, and we'll let them decide to which one they want to go with first and go from there. But we got a lot of help out here. We got to know where our resources are. We're never in this together, and for the citizens of Harris County and plus the families of the involved loved ones, we're going to do this. And that's why we're here. This is what we do. and it's our job, and we swore to do it, and that's exactly what we're going to do.
You guys are currently investigating a shooting incident that occurred on Friday. We've been covering it on our local news stations since the weekend. We see Atlanta's picked it up now. They're sharing photos. You guys had named a suspect. I believe Sunday evening you identified your suspect, put this picture out there, and it's being shared by all media. It was an incident. I guess it happened midday Friday. Young man and young lady were driving. This is the story they put out initially, so I mean, you can tell me if it's changed. Saw a white male standing in the road. His car was parked. They tried to drive around him, and he fired at least a single shot into the car and struck the fellow, struck the victim. And he's being treated in Atlanta Hospital right now. Is there anything to update on this story? Do you have a background on it that you're able to share, that you've been able to understand during the investigation?
It occurred at 3:14. We got the first call at 3:14 Friday afternoon. It came out as an accident with injuries, but as soon as the first responders got on the scene, they realized that, yes, it was an accident, but it was related to a shooting. The victim had a gunshot wound to the back. I was sitting in my office typing a report. I heard it. I responded to the scene, and we stayed on scene until about 10:30 at night. We called in for the GBI crime scene to come out and to help us process the scene. And anyway, it was a long day. But Saturday, as far as getting out here, beating the bushes, an intense manhunt started from that point. We had to find out, of course, the particulars. We started looking at the basics, developing investigative leads, and we developed a suspect. And sometime by Saturday afternoon, we had video, a partial video of the incident that we first put out, because we didn't have no social media. We put out that there was a Jeep involved, a white Jeep, a black top, kind of older model, mid-90s, early 90s. And that sparked some interest, and one thing led to another, and we had a witness call us that knew the facts of the case. So that's how we developed the suspect. And then once we determined our suspect, we developed probable cause, and a warrant was issued, and then the search turned to hunting him. So all pretty much from Saturday afternoon through Sunday night, we were trying to run around this county, and even I was in Alabama twice, Saturday and Sunday, working with them, trying to locate the gentleman. And at this time, we've not located him. I have spoken with him on the phone. I reached out to him. I developed a number. I've talked to him. I tried to get him to bring himself in, explain the situation. I can't help it. We're facilitators here. We do our job. I don't know the young man. I don't know the victim. So there was something that went on between them that caused this. And anyway, I talked to him on the phone, and I couldn't persuade him to turn himself in. So at this time, we're either going to capture him or, we're waiting on his family to get him to turn himself in so we can, go from there. We're not saying he's 100% guilty under the law. That's a judge and a jury. But based on the probable cause that we have right now, he is a suspect, and we are actively looking for him. And I just ask the people to please share the picture. And if anybody sees him or knows his location, we'll take any information, especially anonymous. We'll follow up on every lead, and we ask for the public's help here. We want to bring him in.
Christian Taylor Davis is the suspect?
Christian Taylor Davis, yes, sir.
And his picture's on the News Talk 1330 Facebook page. You did drop a little nugget there that I don't know if you'll feel comfortable elaborating on, but I think it will put some people at ease a little bit. You did suggest that there might have been a previous relationship between the victim and the alleged shooter. Because I know I just talking to a lot of people and seeing Facebook posts, they were concerned that somebody's just walking around shooting cars driving by. But,
No, this was a specific incident. Based on the information we have at this time, unless we develop information that we can fact check and we can prove, right now the two parties knew one another, whether as to what level of friends they were. I cannot attest to that at this time, but the two parties knew one another. They had an ongoing issue at this time that Mr. Davis wasn't happy about or something like that, and I think it led up to, what happened.
Mm-hmm. Stacey, I've got 3 minutes. I'm going to try and get one more question in with you. Are you open to coming back on Thursday? Thursday morning?
Yes, sir. If it's a service to the people we serve here in Harris County and surrounding areas, yes, sir. I'll always be here for you.
Well, I like that it gives people an opportunity to hear from the sheriff and maybe get some ideas of the way you're thinking and maybe get some better ideas how to communicate with you and feel comfortable communicating with you. So we'll do this again. We'll do a part two of this Thursday morning again at 8:30. But before I do let you go, how much do you hope to be a hands-on sheriff? I mean, you're talking about going out to the scene and things. How realistic is that?
Let me tell you this. I've been in office, let's see, what's today, the 12th, I think, and I've been called out at night last night. I went to bed and got called out in reference to some dogs attacked a man's cattle. Done about $5,000 of damage, lost two cows last night. And when people call, I respond. A sheriff is a sheriff 24/7, 365 days out of the year. It ain't like you get vacation time, sick time, or anything like it. I'm a steward of the people. I represent the people that I serve. And when I took this job, you call, I will come. And that's just the way it is. So 7 days a week, if you'll see me out, I'll get out there in the morning. I go out at nighttime, ride around, and I check on things too. I just don't sit in the office. I investigate crime too. And I've got a lot of other things to do, but I want the people to know that we're here for them and we're going to do everything possible to make their lives better. And that's why I want to be sheriff. I want to make my community better.
And I know you're high energy. I know you've worked different shifts here in Carrollton and your other jobs overseas. I mean, so you've got that clock that's all messed up in your head anyway. Probably don't, it doesn't click that it's 8 o'clock in the morning with you, that you're able to do that. But how can you maintain that for a long time? I mean, if you're going to go out on all these calls?
I've had people pull me off the side and say, "Sheriff, you're going to have to calm down. You're going to have to slow down. You got to pace yourself." And I realize that. We're in the early stages. We're 12 days into a four-year administration, but we got a lot of work to do. When people call me, I want people to know this. I will work. We've been working 12 to 16 hours a day here and ever since we took over, and that's just a fact. When I get my vehicle, I go in service with the radio, and when I get out of my house at whatever time it is, I go out of service. And during that time, I'm constantly doing something. I sit here, I get multiple phone calls. In one weekend, this past weekend, I received and made 207 phone calls. I was adding it up. And that's a lot of phone calls. I ain't talking about the personal time that you're face-to-face with different people throughout the day. That's just on phone calls. So, again, I love being sheriff. I love helping people. And I ask people, if you got a problem and you think we can help, I want to know about it, because that's why we're here. We're here to help people.
Stacy Williams is Sheriff of Harrelson County and kind enough to join us this morning. Again, we're going to bring him back on Thursday, same time, 8:30, and continue our conversation. It'll be live here. Hope you'll tune in at 8:30 on Thursday. Stacy, thank you this morning, pal.